This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي واللهم ثبتنا عند الموت بلا إله إلا الله واللهم اجعلنا من الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر آمين يا رب العالمين. In the midst of always changing news events around the world, one of the things that people keep a very close eye on is who came into power and who lost power. You know, the Trump administration, for example, is, you know, up for re-election soon, and there's already discussion about what's going to happen there. There are countries like Pakistan, or more recently than that, even before that, Turkey, where there were elections and people were fired up about that, or, you know, political events that are taking place in Malaysia or Indonesia, different parts of the Muslim world and really the world at large. And there's so much of the news filled with discussion about how these transitions of power are going to affect the people, how they're going to affect a country, how they're going to affect foreign policy. And these are the thoughts that are on our minds a lot when these major events happen. And I thought that this is a good opportunity to remind ourselves about something that Allah has to say about power. And where I want to start with is that when we think about, you know, someone coming into control or someone coming into a position of power or authority, that we start thinking of people like in a position of presidency or prime ministership or, you know, rulership and governance and things like that. But before all of that, Allah has given every one of us a degree of power. He's given us control over our bodies. He's given us control over our limbs, our eyes, our tongues. That's the kind of mulk that He gave us over this territory. This body is actually not something I own, but it's something Allah gave me authority over. You know, and the fact that I'm able to use my tongue at the moment, or my mind can think something and communicate that down to the way that my tongue can reach it, and the fact that you can hear these sounds and process them and make sense of them, is all something, a power that Allah gave us, a mulk that Allah actually gave us. And this is something that we don't actually own. Similarly, a little bit further beyond our own bodies, Allah has given us some level of authority or influence or control in our lives. You've got some level of authority over the things that you own. The fact that you turn your steering wheel right and the car turns right is a qudra and a mulk that Allah gave you over your car. You know, because if Allah wants, the steering fluid can go and the car is going straight no matter how much you turn. Like it used to happen when I lived in New York and it was snowy days. You could turn all you want. It's still going straight, you know. So that's something that Allah grants. It's not something that we own or possess. And beyond that is, of course, control and authority that we exert over people. As a parent, I have some degree of control over my children. I like to think I have a lot more control, but I really don't. It's a degree of control that I have exercised over my children. A spouse can exert influence or control over another spouse. You know, teachers can exert control over or influence over students. So in our personal lives, in society, whether it's in our family or at work, maybe you're the manager. You have some control over your team, the people that are working under your team. Maybe you're the employer, you're the owner of the business. You have control over your employees. So Allah has given us different degrees of mulk, different degrees of control and authority and power in our life. So when we hear these ayat that I'm going to share with you, I don't just want you to think about somebody who became president and now they have power. And now we're thinking about their power and this has to be a khutbah they better hear. But actually this is something that you and I need to hear. Because every one of us, in fact, has been endowed with, has been given some degree of power and influence. If not at least, the very least on our own selves, but beyond ourselves also. Allah Azza wa Jalla told us, commanded us to declare this. He said, قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِ الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِنْ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. It's a very famous ayah of Surah Ali Imran. And it begins with Allah commanding us to declare this. قُلْ اللَّهُمَّ. Say, O Allah. Say this to Allah. In other words, this is something that needs to be rehearsed. It's something that's, and by the way, this is not just a dua. In a dua, there's a talab, there's some kind of a request. Usually when you find a dua in the Quran, you find رَبَّنَا. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا. You know, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِقْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا. In the same surah. But here, we find something else. You find you and me telling something to Allah, declaring something to Allah, as if we are testifying to Allah that the fact that we believe in Him leads us to this additional testimony. It's actually an extension, in a sense, of our understanding of the shahada of La ilaha illallah. What does that mean for us practically? So we say, oh Allah, Malik al-Mulk, the owner of all kingdom, the owner of all dominion, of sovereignty, of power. And here this phrase, even though this entire khutbah could be about that phrase, I want to just make you think about one piece of this remarkable phrase, Malik al-Mulk. Malik is someone who owns something. So I can be Malik of a pen. I could be Malik of this TV over here. I could be Malik of objects. I own things. Back in the day, people used to own a sheep or a cow. They were Malik of it. You understand? But you're not Malik over, and the things that you're Malik over, that you own, you have complete right to do whatever you want. If I want to break my pen, it's my right. If I want to throw it in the trash, it's my right. If I want to write with it, it's my right. I have absolute authority to do what I want, and no one can question me why I'm doing what I'm doing, because it is entirely mine. If you own a car, and you decide that you want to change its tires, or you decide that you want to slash its tires, that's your problem. Nobody can question you, because it's yours. Back in the day, somebody owned a goat. They want to slaughter the goat or milk the goat, it's up to them. You understand? So when Allah describes Himself as Malik, before He mentions Mulk, Malik al-Mulk, we're communicating something to Allah that we understand about Him. He absolutely owns all power. The power that I possess is His ownership. The power that He gives me or He takes away from me is His ownership. In other words, why did He give this one authority? Why did He take authority from this one away? Is not ever something I can question. That decision of His is His. That belongs to Him. And it's not something I will ever be in a position to question, because power itself is something Allah owns, has full rights over, to use and distribute as He sees fit. Allahumma malik al-mulk. And by extension of that phrase, we then say, تُؤْتِ الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ. You grant dominion, you grant power, you grant authority, you grant sovereignty to whoever you want. And you pull it away from whoever you want. This is a fact. We're declaring to Allah, you do this at your discretion. Whoever you decide gets power. Whoever you decide, you start pulling power away from them. The interesting thing about the Arabic of this part of the ayah is the word mulk is used twice. تُؤْتِ الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ. Even though you can use a dhamir, you could say تُؤْتِ الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُهُ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ. You could just replace it with a pronoun. In other words, in English you could say, you give power to whoever you want and you pull it away from whoever you want. You could say the word it the second time. But he uses the word power or dominion or kingdom again the second time. And when you do that in the ancient Arabic, the purpose of that is to maybe not even refer to two different kinds of power or two different sets of power, but the same power. Now what does that mean in simple English? It means, you know, when you first hear, you give power to whoever, you take it away from whoever. You give kingdom to whoever, you take it away from whoever. You think He gave it to one person and he took it away from another person, right? That's what comes in our mind. But the use of mulk twice like that teaches us something more. It teaches us that He can give it to someone and then take it away from the same one. The one He gave it to is the one He can take it away from. That's up to Him. He decides. It's not even He gave to one and took something else from another. Subhanallah. That Allah did not ever hand someone a blanket endorsement. Here, you have power, you get to keep it forever. Nope. Allah will decide when you get it, when you have it, and He will decide when it's taken away from you. He'll decide that too. The terms of that power don't come from an election term. They don't come from a duration of a presidency. They don't come from the health of a ruler. That comes from Allah. When will they have it? When will it be taken away? That's the first lesson here. The second lesson is Allah separated this from Izzah. تُؤْتِ الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. He says He gives power, He gives dominion to whoever He wants. Or you give power. You pull it away, and I'll talk about pulling away later on in the khutbah, from whoever you want. Then He says you give Izzah. وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. Well, what in the world is Izzah? Izzah basically is two things. Izzah is authority. One meaning of Izzah is authority. So anybody who has authority over us has a kind of Izzah, but it's not only authority. Izzah also means respect, dignity, karam. So, you know, there are people, sometimes they have authority, but they don't have respect. That happens. Maybe there are police officers that have authority, but because they've been abusive in their neighborhood, the community doesn't respect them. That happens. It could be some government has authority, but they're not respected. That's possible. It's also the opposite is also possible. Sometimes people are respected, but they have no authority. It could be a teacher or an intellectual or a writer that is respected for their ideas, but they have no authority to implement their ideas. Nobody actually takes their ideas and does something with them. So they have respect, but they don't have authority. That can happen. But when someone has izzah, they actually have both. They command respect and they command authority. Now Allah is taking it a step further. He's separating mulk from izzah. Those are two separate things. Just because you have power doesn't mean you have respect. Doesn't actually mean you have authority in the hearts of people. You may have authority on paper. You're the king. You're the ruler. But that doesn't mean people have accepted your authority or they respect your authority. That can happen. So Allah says He can give kingdom, He can give dominion and take dominion away, but that kingdom and that dominion does not necessarily mean that someone has izzah too. He separated those two concepts from each other. It's a remarkable thing that Allah did. Because in the world's eyes sometimes, whoever has power must also have respect. And you know, they come up with fake forms of respect because they won a certain position, then they have to have an inauguration to honor them. They have to have ceremonies to celebrate and respect them. Or when you go meet them, you have to have a certain kind of decorum. All of these formalities to show that this person has respect. But Allah is teaching us that actually true respect and true authority and true honor is not something you can get from a ceremony. You can't get it on a piece of paper. You can't get it because you're sitting at a certain podium or living in a certain palace. It doesn't come from that. Allah gives that in the hearts of people. Allah puts that in the hearts of people. So somebody could be living in the highest palaces, but not command any respect. Not have any, no izzah whatsoever, even though they think they have mulk. So He says, تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. By the way, izzah also means strength. Really interesting contrast. Not just respect, but also means strength. Like Allah says, فَعَزَّزْنَا بِثَالِثٍ قَوَّيْنَا بِثَالِثٍ Surah Yasin. We reinforced two prophets with a third one. We strengthened them. The word izzah was used for that too. In other words, just because you have kingdom doesn't mean you have strength. Sometimes there are people who have the label, but they have no actual power. They don't have the izzah to do something. They just have that authority. How many times has this happened in our personal lives? I don't just want you to think about politics. I want you to think about our personal lives also. How many times can it be that a father has authority on paper? Officially, he's the provider for the family. He's supposed to have that some level of mulk, but he has no power to make his son or daughter do something or say something or change their behavior at all. Powerless. Also, sometimes he's got that authority, but he's not respected at all, has no izzah. So he says, تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ تُذِلُّ also means to humiliate. You humiliate whoever you want, but it also means you make powerless whoever you want. Separating those two notions in our minds. That gives us four possibilities. And I want you to think about these four possibilities. One possibility, and in our life, in any situation, we're going to have one of these four possibilities. One possibility is Allah has given you mulk and He has given you izzah. Well, that's one possibility. He gave you authority, He gave you kingdom, He gave you control, and at the same time you command the strength to exercise that control properly, and you're respected. That's the best of both worlds. It does happen. This is something Sulaiman alayhi salam enjoyed. This is something Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam enjoyed. You know, because one is to have physical power on the outside and the other is to have the respect and love and adoration of your followers on the inside. To have that, you really have to have true leadership. You can't just get that. That has to be earned. But that's the best of both worlds. Now the second scenario is you could have, as I've been saying, you could have mulk, but no izzah. It's possible. Fir'aun had a lot of mulk. Fir'aun had a lot of power. A lot of control. And in some sense he had strength too. But over time his izzah started deteriorating. People didn't respect him. They were laughing at him. He couldn't even control Musa alayhi salam or the believers. He couldn't even control his own cabinet. Over time, he started losing more and more and more izzah. So mulk is there, but izzah is going away. So he could proudly say, alaysa li mulku Misra. Right? He says, I own the kingdom of Egypt alone. I'm the king, the only king. But you know, he saw that izzah is going away. So when he told the magicians to make him look good, when they challenged Musa, you know what they said? They didn't say, بِمُلْكِ فِرْعَوْنِ. They said, بِعِزَّةِ فِرْعَوْنِ إِلَّا نَحْنُ غَالِبُونَ. We declare the izzah, the glory, the respect, the honor of the Pharaoh, because he knew that's where he's taking a hit. The army's still there. Mulk is still there. The dignity's gone. And he needs that to hold on to his power. So you could have that second scenario where you have some control, some authority, some label, but you have no respect left. No real authority in the hearts of those that follow you left. A third scenario is you have no power. La mulk. You have no mulk, you have no control, no power, no authority, but you still have respect. You still have respect. I mean, I'm reminded of the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. This boy has no power. He's a servant. But he's respected by his owner. To the point where when he's being put in a hostel, in the servant's quarters, the owner says, akrimi mathwahu, honor his residence. Respect his residence. So it's possible, don't think just because you don't have power, you can't have respect. That's what I'm trying to get across. You can actually have dignity and respect and honor, even though you have no material power, no money, no control, no social status. Those things are mutually exclusive. Think of millions of people around the world that don't have what common luxuries that you and I take for granted. There are so many millions of people in the world that don't have any transportation. They don't even have a bicycle. They don't have. Does that mean they have no respect? The people that live in villages, the people that live, you know, and don't receive a modern education. These are noble people. These are respectable people. But you know what we've done? Somewhere in the back of our minds, when you get a certain level of education, when you get a certain level of authority, then you're respectable. But if you don't have those things, you're less respectable. So a taxi driver is less respectable. The waiter at the restaurant is less respectable. The farmer is less respectable. The guy hanging off the back of the garbage truck is less respectable. But the PhD at the university is more respectable. He has some level of authority. The one in political office is more respectable. These are artificial definitions in our mind. Allah Azza wa Jalla has created a world in which there are sometimes people that have no power, no respect, no authority. Look at how honored the people of the cave are. We honor them to this day, they had no power. Look at the position Rasulullah was in, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, being expelled from his home, having to live in a cave, having to live in exile, eating off of dried up twigs to survive. And that is still the most noble man that ever lived, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You don't think of someone who's become homeless as someone who has honor. And Ibrahim alayhi salam was made homeless. And he's honored. لا ملك بل عزة. وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةِ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ Allah says, Izzah belongs to Allah alone and to His Messenger and to all those who believe. If so long as you have iman in Allah, Izzah will never go away. Izzah is directly connected to your iman in Allah. It's a powerful thing. And then of course there's the worst case scenario. You have no power, no dominion, la mulk, wala izzah. No respect either. No authority either. There are people, unfortunately, that, you know, just because they don't have in the material sense, you don't have money, or you don't have social influence, you don't have control, that's enough for you to act in a way that you don't even respect your own self. In want of getting those things, we sometimes degrade ourselves, humiliate ourselves. And so that's the worst of the worst, at the very bottom. You know, to not have mulk, and to also not have izzah at the same time. And as you learn this, you're learning something even more powerful. Mulk is less important, izzah is more important. That's actually what you're learning. And so as we move forward, Allah Azza wa Jal tells us, بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ. We tell Allah as we make the statement to Him, we say, in your hands alone, or at your disposal alone, all good belongs. All good is only under your control. This is an incredible thing we say, because now we're saying to Allah, whether I have mulk and izzah, that'll be good. If I have mulk and no izzah, you'll find a way to make that good too. If I have no mulk and just izzah, there'll be a good that will come out of that too. If I have neither of those things, there'll be some good that will come from somewhere out of that too. You can create good out of anything. We see good when we visibly see good. Allah can create good out of things that we can't even imagine. Allah is the one who gave power to Fir'aun. Allah is the one who gave power to Namrud. You know the one who argued with Ibrahim alayhi salam and said, I'm the one who gives life and death? What did Allah say about him? أَلَمْ تَرَى إِلَّا الَّذِي حَاجَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ فِي رَبِّهِ أَنْ آتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكُ Didn't you look at the one arguing with Ibrahim? Allah gave him power. Allah was the one who gave him mulk. Allah gives to whoever He wants, and He can bring khair out of it in ways we can't understand. بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ We have full confidence in you, Ya Allah. You distributed this power to good and bad people. You distributed izzah in this way by your decree. And we know one thing, you only do good. There's only good in it. بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ You are in complete control over all things. You command absolute authority over all things. When Allah decides, Fir'aun will have power, like I said. When Allah decides, Sulaiman will have power. Alayhi salam. A prophet who will do justice. Dhulqarnain, who will go and do justice. Or some tyrant king who will do injustice. Either way. All in the same story too in Surah Al-Kahf. You've got young people whose boat's being damaged by a tyrant king. And the same story, you've got a king going and doing justice. And both of them got their power from where Allah sent it. This is, we talk to Allah and we tell Him that in my personal life and in the world affairs and what's happening around the world, you're the one who distributes this power as a test, as a trial. And you know, the Israelites, who were made weak, what Musa alayhi salam said to them when things got really bad for them? He said, maybe, أَنْ يَسْتَخْلِفَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ Maybe Allah will leave you in power in the land. فَيَنْظُرَ كَيْفَ تَعْمَلُونَ Let's see how you behave. In other words, it's a bigger trial, according to the Qur'an, it's a bigger trial in the Qur'an to have power than to not have power. It's a bigger trial. Because when someone has power, when someone has influence, when you're in control in the family, when you decide what to do with your kids, when you decide where to spend the money, when you have that control, then the choice to the opportunity to make the wrong choice is so much more tempting. Who's going to question me? I don't have to answer to anybody. I could spend my money wherever I want. I could buy whatever I want. I could go wherever I want. I could do whatever I want. Who are you to ask me? And so when Allah gives you a little bit of power, that's when it's tested. That's when you and I have to turn to Allah and say, مَالِكَ الْمُلْكَ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ وَإِنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ One of the last things I'll tell you is نَزْعَ and I'll end. He says, تَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ There's two things left actually, I'll wrap them within 2 minutes. نَزْعَ means to pull. In Arabic, it means to pull. He said he gives power, but he didn't say he takes away power. He gives mulk, he gives dominion. He didn't say, تَأْخُذُ الْمُلْكِ أَوْ تَسْلِبُ الْمُلْكِ You just remove power. No. أَوْ تُذْهِبُ الْمُلْكِ No. تَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكِ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ He pulls power away. In other words, it may not be that one day you woke up and all your power is gone. You'll see it getting pulled away from you little by little, by little, by little, by little, like physical strength. Allah did not make us old overnight. The control we had over our body didn't disappear overnight. Little by little, you start noticing that, when you used to, somebody called you, you were sitting, and you just get up. And then all of a sudden, you woke up 10 years later, and somebody calls you, and it's like the truck backing up, like, like it takes a while to stand up. What just happened? Why is my mind getting up and my body's not listening? It's that power's being pulled away slowly. And human beings don't like to let go of their power, so they want to hold on by whatever means possible. They just want to hold on. Allah says, you can pull on this rope all you want. Allah is pulling it on the other side. You ain't winning this tug of war. It's going and it's going and it's going and it's going. تَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ So you're going to watch it leave. But even as you watch it leave, just don't lose your izzah. وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ SubhanAllah. بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ In your hand, even as power goes away from us, authority goes away from us, control goes away from us, all good belongs to Him. The final thing, the final statement we make to Allah is إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ You are in complete control, in complete measure over all things. قُدْرَ in Arabic is two things. It's to be in control, so Allah's controlling all of this, which is an extension of the idea of Malik. But also قُدْرَ and قَدِيرٍ in Arabic is to calculate. قُدْرَ is to calculate. قَدَّرْنَاهُ مَنَازِلْ حَتَّى عَادَكَ الْعُجُونِ الْقَدِيمِ We calculated its stages. Now the idea of taqdeer, what is written for you, what is decreed for you, what is calculated for you. In other words, Allah decides in precise calculation, when is it that, what power will I have, how much of it will I have, who will I have power over, how long will that power last, when will that go away, how will that go away. All of that's been calculated by Allah. إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ I can make whatever calculations I want for my business. I'm going to grow it this much this year, this much next year, this much next year. I can make whatever calculations I want for my career, for my personal goals, for my family goals. Then I'm going to have this much authority. Then it's going to be this much. Then we're going to expand to that much. You can have those. Allah has His own qudra. He's got his own calculations. And we declare to Allah openly, إِنَّكَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. You are in complete control, and you have the complete calculation of all things. Of all things, including ourselves. This is a humility before Allah that we testify with, to Him in this way. And what I want to end with is the following. The next ayah, just a glimpse of that next ayah. Read it on your own. I'll give you the ayah number. I'm analog, not digital. It's ayah number 26 that I read to you today. In ayah number 27, what does he say? تُولِجُ اللَّيْلَ فِي النَّهَارِ وَتُولِجُ النَّهَارَ فِي اللَّيْلِ. You make the night go into the day, and you make the day go into the night. وَتُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَتُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتَ مِنَ الْحَيِّ. You bring the dead, you bring the living out of the dead, like the dead earth is dead, and the life plants come out of it, and you bring the dead out of the living. Why did he say that? Think about it. Every day we're reminded, the sun is so powerful, and Allah takes His power away little by little by little, and it becomes night. And the night is so dark, like it's endless, and then little by little by little, Allah takes it away and brings out day again. The fact that everything we have is temporary, that Allah controls it, and He has a complete calculation of it. Every single day we're reminded of that just by the night and the day. Just by night and day. And that cycle of night and day will eventually lead to two things. It'll eventually lead for us to experience in our family's new life, and also experience our own death eventually. Life and death itself is the ultimate reminder that power isn't something you can keep. So he says, تُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَتُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتَ مِنَ الْحَيِّ وَتَرْزُقُ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. And at the end of the day, you provide whoever you want without any limits, without any restrictions. May Allah Azza wa Jal provide all of us without restriction. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us humble before His power. And before we think about criticizing the power that Allah has given to others, we really reflect on ourselves about the power and the dominion Allah has given us, and whether we've done justice with that amana that He's entrusted us with. بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن الحكيم ونفعني وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم.